Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 4, Hiranyakashipu Terrorizes the Universe, Text Number 18. Shaila Droni Bir Akritam Sarvartushu Gunan Druma Tadara Loka Palanam Eka Eva Pritak Gunan Shalila, Shaila, the hills and mountains, Droni B, with the valleys between them, Akridam, pleasure grounds for Hiranyakashipu, Sarva, all, Ritushu, in the seasons of the year, Gunan, different qualities, fruits and flowers. Druma, the plants and trees. Dadara, executed. Lokapalanam, of the other demigods in charge of different departments of natural activity. Eka, alone. Eva, indeed. Pritak, different. Gunan, qualities. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The valleys between the mountains became pleasure, fields of pleasure for Hiranyakashipu, by whose influence all the trees and plants produce fruits and flowers profusely in all seasons. The qualities of pouring water, drying and burning, which are all qualities of the three departmental heads of the universe, namely Indra, Vayu, and Agni, were all directed by Hiranyakashipu alone, without assistance from the demigods. Purport is said in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Tejo Vari Mridam Yata Vinimaya. This material world is conducted by fire, water, and earth, which combine and take shape. Here it is mentioned that the three modes of nature, Pritag Gunan, act under the direction of different demigods. For example, Indra is in charge of pouring water. The demigod Vayu controls the air and dries up the water, whereas the demigod controlling the fire burns everything. Hiranyakashipu, however, by dint of his austere performance of mystic yoga, became so powerful that he alone took charge of everything without assistance from the demigods. In spite of achieving the power to control in all directions, and in spite of enjoying all types of dear sense gratification as much as possible, Hiranyakashipu was dissatisfied because instead of controlling his senses, he remained their servant. Purport, this is an example of Asuric life. Atheists can advance materially and create an extremely comfortable situation for the senses. But because they are controlled by the senses, they cannot be satisfied. This is the effect of modern civilization. Materialists are very much advanced in enjoying money and women, yet dissatisfaction prevails within the human society because human society cannot be happy and peaceful without Krishna consciousness. As far as material sense gratification is concerned, materialists may go on increasing their enjoyment as far as they can imagine, but because people in such a material condition are servants of their senses, they cannot be satisfied. Hiranyakashipu is a vivid example of this dissatisfied state of humanity. Everyone is looking for happiness in the material world and in the spiritual world. But happiness here is compared to looking for a drop of water in the desert. Certainly there must be at least one drop of water somewhere in the desert, but even if one gets that drop of water, it will not be sufficient to quench one's thirst. Similarly, everyone is looking for happiness here in the material world or in the spiritual world, but here in the material world, the happiness is so insignificant that it's considered to be tuchavat, completely insignificant. Although, compared to nothing, it has significance, but compared to reality, it's insignificant. And Prahlad Maharaj said, yan mai tu nadi griyamedi sukham hi tu cham kanduyanena karyar eva dukha dukham kandu divat manisijam vishaheta dira. That yan mai tu nadi griyamedi sukham hi tu cham, that the happiness of grihamedi, that is unrestricted sense enjoyment, sex life, is compared to rubbing your two hands together to relieve an itching sensation. Now certainly if there's an itching sensation, as long as one is scratching the itch, there's a kind of relief from the itching sensation, and one may take that as a kind of happiness. Now generally, people don't look for something to give them an itch so they can scratch it and get happiness from it. But when the itching sensation is there and the scratching is there, as the itching sensation is relieved, one is experiencing some kind of satisfaction or happiness from such alleviation of the itching sensation. But Prahlad Maharaj said, "Is mani sijam visheheta dira," it is actually a mental concoction. Because number one, the itching sensation will not be relieved. And the more you scratch, the more dangerous it becomes that you may get infected and other problems. But this is what the material world is based upon. Ata keno priyuktoyam papam charity purusha anicca napivarchneya valadiva niyojita. What is the force that's governing the material world? Even the demons, they say, that asatyam apratishtam te jagara hora nishvaram aparashvaram sambhutyam kimanya kama haitukam, that the cause of everything that's going on in material existence is kama. So the demons are right, partially. The material universe goes on because of lust. And the principle of lust is we're lusty to imitate Radha and Krishna in the spiritual world. Radha and Krishna has been incarnated in this material world as Romeo and Juliet, or Tarzan and Jane, or Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse, or in so many different varieties of relationships in the material world, all based upon trying to scratch an itch. But is manasijam vishaheta dira. Adira, he may analyze this and see, well, if I'm going to have to want to get happiness, I should at least look for it in a place that it exists. Because if we accept Krishna, that lust will transform itself. Although we may seemingly satisfy lust, but it will transform into greed. And greed will transform into frustration eventually, and anger is transformed into our present state of delusion. Everyone has their delusions. The main delusion is that I'm this body. And it used to be people were deluded into thinking they were a male or a female. But that's not the case anymore. They can be one of, at least the last time I heard, was 72 categories of possible genders. And ever increasing. But that's a delusion. I mean, people are enough delusion thinking themselves to be male or female. But when you expand the delusion into multiple genders, dozens and dozens of genders, then it's not even delusion, it's just complete madness. And people forget. The more they become deluded, the more they forget, and therefore they don't even, a child at least, if they put their hand in the fire, then immediately it gets burned and they take their hand away. And if you offer the child to put his hand in the fire again, if he wants, he'll say, no, I don't want. But if you forget, then you may do it again, like a dog. A dog, he wants to come to the table and eat, and the master takes a newspaper and smashes it. He runs away from the table. 5 minutes later, he's coming back to the table again because he has no memory. And he goes, what? And this goes on for some period of time till the dog is, can't walk anymore. So similarly, the more one becomes deluded, then the more his memory is lost. And if there's no memory, one doesn't know what to be done and what's not to be done. There's no reference. If you ask a baby one day old if she could go right or left, it has no idea, it has no experience, it has no memory whether to go right or left. And therefore has no intelligence, or really little intelligence. So if one loses his memory, then he also loses his perspective on things, his intelligence. He has no basis to make any decisions on. And therefore he's sure to make some foolish decision. So Krishna says, Umenavriyate vanira, itaradara shomalena cha, itobainavrita garavas, tata tenevam avritam. Just like the fire is covered by smoke, or the embryo is covered by the dust, or the womb, or the mirror is covered by dust, so living entity is covered by different degrees of lust. So that's what we're walking around in. And the human form of life, of course, is compared to smoke and fire. When the fire is carefully handled, then the smoke will go away, and the fire won't be made to blaze. So knowledge or consciousness can be made to blaze if it's handled rightly, engaging ourselves in Krishna service. And gradually the smoke of lust and illusion, etc., delusion, will go away, and the blazing fire of consciousness will come out, and we'll become conscious of Krishna again in all aspects. But if the fire is not made to, if not handled properly, if you keep on pouring water on the fire, then all you can expect is a lot of smoke. And eventually the fire will go out. So why are people working so hard to satisfy their lust, anger, greed? Because avritam jnana etena, jnanino nityavarena, kamarupena kuntiya, duspraena analena cha. Because it's never satisfied. And it burns like fire. It impels the living entity to try to satisfy. I dare you to satisfy me. You must satisfy me. I'll never leave you alone unless you gratify me. So that's Maya. And we go, all right, I give up. I surrender. Therefore, paravas tavata bodha jata yavan nijignasita atmatatvam yavan kriyastavati dhammanovai karmatvakam yena sharira bandha. That one is said to be defeated by illusion, as long as one is not inquisitive about self-realization. If we're not really trying to find out who we are and how to properly utilize our mind and senses in Krishna's service, then we're said to be defeated by ignorance. So it's a war. And if we think, well, there's no war going on, it's because we've surrendered to the enemy. If we think, well, I'm not at war with anyone. I'm peaceful. I'm happy. I'm satisfied. No problem with me. I have no mental disturbance whatsoever. That means one is already surrendered to Maya, and therefore one has no discrimination. If you ask an ordinary animal, are you psychologically disturbed? Do you have any psychological problems? Of course it doesn't. It's never conflicted. Because as soon as the stool is there, it knows exactly what it wants. It's not, has to think it over, who gave me this gift, how healthy they were, is this my flavor? it's never conflicted. No, immediately it's called, when I studied psychology in college, they only had one kind of psychology at the university I went to. It was called behavior modification. They call it experimental, but it was actually just considering human beings to be just like animals. And the major education in that department was called behavior modification. That they modeled it after B.F. Skinner's experiments with dogs. Well, actually, Pablo's experiments with dogs, that they ring a bell, and then the dog would be offered some food, but when they rang the bell, the dog would start salivating, expecting the food, and then after a while, they just ring the bell, and the dog would produce saliva, even without any food being given to it. So this is called, the stimuli was the bell, and their reflex was the saliva coming from the dog. So they said that human beings are like that. You put an object of sense gratification in front of them, after a while they become conditioned by it, and even if they don't get sense gratification, they simply see the object and they become stimulated, conditioned, stimuli response. So the idea is that we've been trained up like animals. Simply the stimuli is there and then the response automatically is there because we have no intelligence. We lost our intelligence somewhere in the first grade. And therefore, whenever the stimuli is there, we get it automatically, a response, a reflex. But Krishna consciousness movement is to give us some intelligence. As Prabhupada said, we have the task, the unappreciated task of trying to give people brains. At that time, they were accusing the movement of brainwashing people. But Prabhupada said, actually, unfortunately, we don't find any people with any brains. There's no brains to wash. And even if there's some people with brains, they're made out of cow dung. So no matter how much you wash them, they never become clean. But actually, this is a brainwashing society. We're meant to wash the brain of all these material misconceptions so we can see things properly. So we can actually have some proper discrimination. So when the stimuli is there, we don't automatically have a reflex, conditioned reflex, that we use our intelligence. That was called actually proactive. That when the stimuli is there, you can decide, if you have intelligence, how to react to the stimuli. Unlike the animals, they simply react according to their conditioned nature. So this is the purpose of the Hare Krishna movement, is to give people intelligence. And what is that intelligence? Well, what is the manifestation of that intelligence? How do we know if we have intelligence? One time Prabhupada said, one man is asking another person, do you have intelligence? So he's checking his pocket to see if there's money. The idea is if you have money, you must be intelligent. That's the pinnacle of intelligence, is how much money you have so you can enjoy your senses. But Krishna said the manifestation of intelligence is apuryamanam achala pratishtam samudram apa pravishanti yadvat tadva kama yam pravishanti sarve sa shanti matnoti nakama kami. Person is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires. Now we've come to this material world and we've accumulated desires. They're not awards, they're punishments. Material desires are actually punishments for the conditioned soul. You want to steal from God, you're given material desires as a reward. You're punished by them. So you work in the material world like a dog or an ass, trying to fulfill those desires. So they're maya. They're our prisoner. Oh, they're our prison. They're the torture we're given. Because of our rebelliousness, we're put in prison and given torture of material desires to fulfill. Like Sisyphus. He kept on rolling a rock. He was put into a hole And in the, his job was to roll a rock up the hole and try to get out of the hole. Then he would be free. But every time he got up to, with a rock, heavy rock, big boulder, up to the top of the hole, it would automatically fall back. And therefore he'd have to climb down and pick up the rock again and try to bring it out of the hole. And it'd never get out of the hole. It'd always fall back. A little frustrating, wouldn't it? Almost there. Oh, my God. I've been here for billions of years. Don't worry, Maya. Don't worry. This time will work. You have a lot of practice. You know what you're doing. Go. Maya, it didn't work again. Anyhow, a little, you know, you're getting older and wiser. Some material energy is like that. Maya is saying, oh, you're so fortunate, you have so many desires, you'll be so successful, that you're going to gain so much. In astrology, there's one house, they full of desires. It's the house of desire, the 11th house. And it just fills you with so much desire, you'll work like a dog in order to fulfill your desires for money and sense gratification. And there's no limit to it. Now, Prabhupada said, if you have a couple of chapatis and a place to sleep, your eating and sleeping is more or less taken care of. And there's a limit to how much you can defend and make. So even if you have billions of dollars, what is the value of it? All you can do is misuse it, practically speaking. If you don't engage in Krishna service, it's like in the Bhagavatam, it's like a crown, it's a heavy weight. It'll simply drag you down deeper into the material existence. So you may have worked very hard fulfilling desires in your last lifetime, and therefore you'll be given unlimited desires in this lifetime for accumulating wealth and sense gratification unrestrictedly, and you may be in the eyes of little animals, a big animal, but simply this accumulation illegally of economic development for sense gratification will simply wind you up in a lower and lower species of life if it's not utilized in Krishna service. Therefore, apuryamana machala pratishtam, if one is fortunate enough to hear about Krishna and wake up that this is not the goal of life, to accumulate wealth for sense gratification, then the result is that one may actually accumulate some Krishna consciousness. And although we have many, many desires flowing in our mind, they won't disturb us as much as we become Krishna conscious. We won't be attracted to these unnecessary impulses and ideas and thoughts and feelings coming from the illusory energy through our minds. And therefore we can become detached from them and try to deepen our Krishna consciousness rather than to fulfill those desires. And then one can actually find real peace. Therefore, vihaya kami yak sarvam pumam shariti nisriha nirvamam nirahankara sashanti madhigachiti. One who gives up all desires of sense gratification, who lives free from desires, who's devoid of false ego, who doesn't consider himself a proprietor and is devoid of false ego, he alone can achieve real peace. Now, if we want to be peaceful, we want to be satisfied, which is the preliminary qualification for being happy, rather than running around chasing our tail, then we have to give up these things. And we can only give them up, especially in this age, if we get something higher. Therefore, we're given the opportunity to perform sadhana bhakti, and as we're chanting Hare Krishna, we always have the opportunity to actually pay attention. And if we have too many worries in our mind that we're attached to, although Krishna says, Masu Jaha, give up this worrying, it's useless. Of course, if there's a fire in the house, you may worry a little bit. It's not that you're chanting your japa, and you're trying to concentrate on the japa, a fire breaks out in the temple room, you say, well, Krishna says, don't worry. So I'm not going to worry. Masu Jaha, yes. A little close, it's getting a little warm in here, maybe you should open the window. No, don't worry. No, we have to be reasonable. But while we're putting the fire out, we should also chant Hare Krishna. So we don't neglect material existence, but we don't take it as the ultimate goal of life. Instead, we should take the ultimate goal of life to actually concentrate our attention on Krishna and give our love to Him. Then it's possible to give up desires of sense gratification, to live free from desires, give up all sense of proprietorship, and give up our false ego. Otherwise, it's not possible. So we're performing Krishna consciousness, and our success in execution of Krishna consciousness will also can be measured by how much we give up these four things. Desire for sense gratification, desires for material improvement, the desires for proprietorship of the material energy, and especially our false ego, that I am something other than the servant of the servant of Krishna. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? And you know, the point is, Hiranyakashipu had everything. We believe Srimad Bhagavatam. He had everything. He had control over the material nature. Unlimited sense gratification and enjoyment. He could eat glubdamins the whole day and never got sick. Imagine that. Samosas, glubdamins. And then he could have ice cream afterwards and he'd still be healthy. So, who can imagine how exalted his material position was? And yet he was unhappy, dissatisfied. So, do you think that we'll become happy and satisfied if we even get a fraction of what he had? It's impossible. No one. If he can't be satisfied, then how is it possible that we can? All these horses are trying to cross the river, big, strong horses, and they're all being swept away by the current. And one scrawny little feeble horse says, I'll do it. Well, the big, big horses couldn't do it. How is a scrawny little feeble horse going to be able to do it? It can't do it. It's going to get swept away too. But due to its false ego, its pride, it's thinking, I'm going to do it. So if Hiranyakashipu couldn't do it, we're not going to do it either. We're not going to become unlimitedly happy by our plans for economic development and sense gratification. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Through the lecture, I was thinking sometimes in Sankirtan, I meet many people who kind of deny the need of knowledge, intelligence, that it's like a lower a skill you need in life, that more important is to feel, and what you feel is real. So
what you feel is real.
Yeah.
Okay.
So like that's like the true, the honest, the purest desire, the wish which the so-called universe is wanted you to do. So how to bring closer this aspect of that the intelligence is needed and to make it like more important, or say it in these words.
Give them the prasadam. If you have a dog, you may preach to it all day long about why don't you get some intelligence, why don't you go to school, but it's not going to be, you know, it'll simply bite you ultimately. Why preach if someone actually thinks, I don't know what kind of intelligence they're talking about, but obviously it's not the type of intelligence to control their mind and senses and engage in Krishna service. Better give them, you know, a lollipop or something from Food for Life, and offer them a book and ask for a donation. Tell them you're hungry. And if they don't want to give a donation, go to the next person. Why discuss? Someone has no intelligence. How can you give them an intelligence? You're not going to give them any intelligence. They don't want intelligence. Give them something to eat. That's what they want. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Hiranyakashipu was, first of all, one is thing, one thing is quite amazing, how Hiranyakashipu was controlling the whole universe. Also,
you want me to explain it to you?
Yes, please.
I mean, why would he even want to control fire and wind? What's the point of?
Maybe he was cold. Well, why does anyone want to control anything in the material world? It's impressive. Maybe there was some apsara he wanted to impress. It's always for that reason. It all boils down to that. Prabhupada said that, why do they build these big buildings? These super skyscrapers, just to impress women, that's all. It always goes down to the same thing.
And then if he controlled the moon, which controls the mind, why wouldn't he just turn on his own happiness and be happy? And he was miserable instead.
Well, even Chandra doesn't have a controlled mind. He got into so much trouble. I think Chandra is the one who stole Brihaspati's wife. So he doesn't have a controlled mind either. It's part of the material world. He may be in charge of the mind, but not necessarily in charge of controlling the mind. Yes.
I have another one. It seems there is a pandemic of lack of motivation, primarily for males. They are completely happy to stay at home in their 30s, doing some very small, teeny gigs just to earn some pocket money, and play video games the whole day, not even interested much in partners or doing something, even when offered some simple way to earning big money. So it seems that for such people, having desires and wishing for gain would be a step up.
No, they have desires, but it's focused, everyone has desires, but it's focused on sleeping and eating. That's it. The animals have desires too, but it's simply focused on those things. It's gross sense gratification, sinful life usually for the human being. So they have desires, they're just misdirected, they're just gross. But yes, if they come to the mode of passion, but mode of passion doesn't mean sinful activity. Mode of passion means to try to follow the Vedic culture, Vedic instructions, to make some advancement, to refining things, not to degrade them. So generally, my society is being influenced by ignorance, not refinement. One more. Okay.
Maharaj, you've mentioned many times before also that intelligence is meant ultimately to control the senses, or other things are, other uses are not important. And obviously the most intelligent being, when he comes in this world on the earth, what he does, I mean Brahma, when he becomes Haridas Thakur, he controls his mind all day long. He doesn't do anything else. He's chanting all day. So it occurred to me like an example of what you're saying. But I'm interested. But we do this to feel something. What Haridas Thakur felt, if you can say.
What did
something.
He feel? Felt good. He was in the spiritual world. When you chant Hare Krishna, Shuddha Nam or Prema Nam, he was chanting Prema Nam, then you're actually in the spiritual world, enjoying yourself with spiritual senses in your spiritual form with Krishna. There's unlimited varieties of happiness and pleasure and love being experienced ever increasingly at every moment. That's what he was experiencing. Otherwise, how could he chant every day like that? He was in a different place. We'll find out when we get there. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.